Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
G'day, Filth. It's your third favourite co-host, Ben Vanel, here, checking in to let you know we have a listener survey going on at the moment. If you head to filthycasuals.com.au, you can find the survey in the first or second post there. It has questions about where you'd like to see us tour, and other things that would be really helpful for us to know. So fill that out. And while you're there, check out the merch, check out the Bandcamp premium episodes, the Patreon, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Anyway, enjoy the episode.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo. With me, as always...
Hey, Tommy. It's Ben Vanel here. We're once again sharing the corner of a table, huddled together around the warm glow of your laptop. And why is that, you might ask? Well... I'll tell you the answer.
I don't need to ask. I know the answer, but please, humor me.
No, I won't bother then.
Oh, fuck. All right. Adam, are you there?
Good morning. Literally good morning video games from me.
Oh.
It's 9.05 a.m. over here in Edinburgh, Scotland.
It's 6.05 p.m. here in Melbourne, Australia.
Yep. That's right. It's a toasty 12 degrees Celsius here.
If it's only 12 hours ahead, how come it took the First Fleet like 6 months to get there? Tell me that. Yeah, I've rumbled them.
You've really rumbled us.
Yeah,
but
wow.
Since we're asking questions, it's called global warming, and yet they're talking about things getting colder as well. Now, I don't know. This doesn't add up if you ask me.
I think if you consider that the world is flat... Which I do. It answers a few of your questions. I've actually got a pamphlet you might like to read after the show or during the show.
Adam, are you there? We can't hear you laughing, and this is good shit we're doing
now.
Yeah,
it's a very strange feeling.
Yeah, yeah. I've put a laugh filter on my Skype, so if I laugh, you won't hear it. Sorry about that, but yeah, I'm cacking my dax.
Great, that's good to know.
Awesome.
Well, if you're not going to actually laugh, if you can just, you know, if you can just express to us, if you can just say the phrase that you just said, I'm cacking my dax. anytime you're faintly amused by something we say, that'd help us out a lot.
Yeah,
Chuckle City, Tommy. Absolutely, great. Chuckle City.
Loving it, loving it. How are you feeling over there? You've been there for a week. Someone in our Facebook group suggested that we should give you a week off because on your other podcast you sound extremely jet lagged.
Well, I have been jet lagged, but also we've been recording that podcast at like 8 p.m. and that's at exactly the time when I've been like coming out of like a nap I've been having to have here.
Right.
So you're actually rested. You're not tired at all.
Kind of rested, but like recording a podcast immediately as you wake up, you end up sounding a little grumpy on it.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, it's sort of like how we often record these right after I've like driven through peak hour traffic.
Oh yeah,
and I'm always grumpy. That's why I'm the way I am. If the listeners are wondering.
Oh God, now you say this explains so much.
Traffic's like I haven't driven for a few years, but traffic never used to make me mad for some reason. It always felt like it was like extra, like bonus alone time.
I mean, it is that, but if you're drawn a, like if you drive home from work to get more alone time, then the traffic is frustrating because you're like, I just want to be at home.
Yeah,
but there's nothing you can do about traffic. Is the thing?
Frustrating thing.
Yeah,
but the things in life that you can't change, man, you just got to let them slide. That's why I don't brush my teeth.
I'll tell you what you can do about traffic if you're not enjoying it. This was a situation I found myself in this morning.
Get out and yell at someone? Is that...
Driving back through, driving back along Flinders Street in Melbourne from Port Melbourne.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the equivalent of that over in Edinburgh, Adam, for our UK listeners?
Oh, yeah. What's the worst street to be stuck on?
Fuck, man. I don't know road names, but probably Newtown, somewhere in Newtown. There's like a tram in Newtown that seems to annoy people.
Okay. And that works for Sydney as well.
Yeah.
So that's beautifully done.
I was just banked up in traffic, taking me forever to just crawl my way down that street. Mm-hmm. So,
and you live on that street, basically.
I basically live on that street. Yeah, I'm so close yet so far.
Yeah.
So I get the old telephone out.
Yep.
Do a bit of scrolling through social media.
Sure. Good
All
way
of
to
a sudden,
time.
A little bit of a rat-a-tat-tat on my window.
Oh, I think I see
and
where this is
who
going.
Who do you think that was?
Was
the
it?
Boys in Blue.
Oh, okay. Mm. I was going to go
now, look,
a different avenue.
To be fair, Tommy, I'm enjoying this story, but let me tell how this story sounds to me. So I thought I could get away with this murder. I knew it was a crime, but I was thinking that no one would find out in this remote cabin that I'd murdered someone.
Yeah, there's no disagreement. Like, I'm just describing what happened. I haven't put in my own personal spin yet. Yes. I'm completely on their side.
Yep.
I was in the wrong.
Yep.
Cop on a bike.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's very...
It's very cheeky, isn't it?
It's very cheeky.
It's very sneaky as well.
It's very... It's I don't know, there's something about... It's very undignified.
Oh, absolutely.
Getting a ticket in your car from a cop on a bike.
Yeah.
And, little old fine coming my way.
Ooh.
For...
It's not small either.
No, and it's points too.
Oh, yep. Really?
Yep.
Yeah. You get like 3 demerits for that.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But I will
as
say...
You should.
And I know that you absolutely should. And this is, you know, completely the wrong attitude to have. I got one of these fines before maybe 6 years ago.
Mm.
And it you know, it cooled me off for maybe a couple of months.
Yeah.
And then I was just back in full flight.
Now,
and since then, I haven't been busted until today. So really, when you average it out, the fee that I've paid per usage of my phone in the car is pretty small.
Yes. That's the attitude I take to public transport fines.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think that public transport should be free. In the, you know, metropolitan area.
Yeah.
So
or it should be like, yeah, it should be state funded. It should
exactly,
be
yeah.
Like it is here.
Yes, completely. So stealing public transport hurts no one. Being on your phone in the car.
Oh. It's absolutely one of the worst things you can do.
Yeah.
I am definitely in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute you hear that sound of knuckle hitting glass, you know that the jig is up.
Yep.
It's so... And then I get the thing from the cop where he's like, so what were you doing on the phone?
Oh.
And it's like, is there any reason I can... Why ask that? Is there any reason
I was reporting a crime.
I thought of a funny tweet.
I was... I can tell you, officer, I was Googling, do policemen in shorts have any authority?
Yeah. I had thought of a ripper tweet and I was just busting to get it out. And then now I can't send it.
Mm.
I'm too ashamed.
Just leave it sitting in drafts.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just about to go onto your Twitter page to see if I could guess the ripper tweet that you put out. But it makes sense that there won't be one there.
Yeah.
It was going to be a list of the most common interactions that you have online with people that are fans of your work.
Oh.
So it was like... Being tagged in the comments of an article that very vaguely relates to something that you've talked about once.
Yep.
Being tagged in the comments of some a photo of some fuck ugly person with the text, "Is this you?"
Yes.
A friend request from a stranger after you've liked a comment of theirs in passing, some inconsequential thing.
Yep.
And then a fourth one. That's what I was trying to work out while I was stuck in traffic. What do you guys think?
Replying to that tweet saying, relatable, Tommy.
Getting a fine for the content. The content that the police tried to shut down.
Yeah, the fourth one is just all cops are dogs.
What if that's really what it was? It was like he was driving along, riding alongside me and he saw in my window and he saw what I was typing out and he went, we got to shut this one down.
That's so unfunny, it's criminal.
Not what I was going for, Ben.
Okay, sure. I took a different angle.
But how are you going over there, Adam?
Yeah, good. I climbed up Arthur's seat yesterday.
Oh, yeah? Did he mind?
No, he loved it. He said,
that's good shit. We should be over there.
That's cool, though. That it has a beautiful view up there, doesn't it?
It's fucking incredible. Mm. It is one of the coolest things. Man, Scotland is beautiful.
Mm.
The fucking land here, you can see why these guys fought so hard for it and then eventually lost to the English.
Mm-hmm.
But like it is
one of the many shames of my life when I went to the Edinburgh Fringe. Mm-hmm. I did not go up Arthur's Seat.
Yeah, you fucked up.
I know, I fucked up.
I didn't go last year, to be fair, but this year I took the time. I went up there. Fuck, it's slippery and scary. At points, because it like started raining a bit when I was up there, and so on the way down it's a lot of rocks. Like there's no barriers, there's no ropes or fences. It's just a big mountain near the city, and they're like, yeah, climb it if you dare.
I love that.
It's fucking rad.
One thing I did do while I was in Edinburgh was I saw a performance at the Edinburgh Castle of, in my opinion, yes, the best stand-up who's ever done it, Ricky Gervais.
At the castle?
Yeah.
Where the fuck was he at the castle?
He's the clown prince of comedy.
Yeah, they had a big kind of thing set up, I think, on the like just out the front.
Yeah,
so
right. They've got like a sort of a stadium seating set up there.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where it was, Adam.
Yeah, but why? I don't know.
Did you guys see his tweet from today?
No.
The Ricky Gervais tweet. I saw it today. It may have been from earlier, but he tweeted, I've checked my balls more than I've checked my privilege. Which is nonsensical and enraging.
Now that's car worthy. That's yes, one that you'd you'd happily cop the demerit points for that one.
Yes.
In peak
I think
hour.
That cunt can't drive. Anyway, the
he can't ride either.
I just wanted to say I slipped over on the way back down from Arthur's Seat. Yes. Fell on my butt, and now my fingers are acting weird.
Oh wow!
So wait,
couple
you think
of my fingers
a...
on my right hand?
There's some nerve damage that's going from the ass to the fingers.
Well, it was the
usually
ass
for
and
you.
The
it's
hand.
It's the fingers to the ass. But
yeah, I have my fingers in the two in the stink position at the time.
Right, that explains a lot.
So they got squished.
Right, just digiting yourself over the view, going, oh, this is beautiful.
Yeah. Only one way this could be more enjoyable.
Bit of news this week.
Yes.
Bit of controversy this week.
Yes.
In the world of gaming.
Well, mm-hmm. Which one are you going to be talking about?
Well, you'll find out.
Okay.
We're on mic. This is the show.
He's about to say it, presumably.
Because of the bit of levity, I thought you were going to be talking about another thing. And I was like, that's not the way to introduce it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, right. No. I feel like we should talk about that first, to be honest. Just like really, really quickly, just say it's fucking insane and like huge, you know, I don't know what the word is because I don't want to use the term like thoughts or anything because it seems so limp. But anyone affected by all the shit over there, indirectly or directly, it's horrific. And the fact that...
Talk about the El Paso stuff.
Yeah, and the multiple others that are going
honestly,
on.
The fact that you hadn't specifically said what it was did seem like the format to a joke where you were really building up to then go...
No.
Oh, the photo of my little penis that I put on the internet.
The Ricky Gervais tweet, blah, blah, blah. the like real shit that keeps happening. And the reason I was being nonspecific is because there's so much of it and it's so difficult to keep track of at this point that I'm not sure exactly how to say it. But the fact that the only reason I'm bringing it up is because, like, as a scapegoat, they're bringing video games into it again and, like, the rotating fucking... spin the wheel of what should we blame it on other than directly fucking ourselves. Insane behavior from people in power over there, and it's repulsive, and I feel so sorry for anybody who has to be victim to that.
Completely echo that. The fear-mongering, obviously, like, it feels silly to have to defend video games when there's also like, and they're blaming mental illness rather than just, you know, the lack of gun control. But it's just extremely sad, and they've got to ban assault weapons.
So the dipshits like fucking Tucker Carlson saying like, it's all a conspiracy that they're saying to divide us, to blame it on fake things like gun control. It's cunt. It's you, partly, for one thing. It's people like him. It's absolutely the sort of bullshit that people like Trump spout because their party the puts info, them up to it as well.
The InfoWars guy, what's his name? Alex Jones? Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's pretty much out of the picture now in a lot of ways, and it's still fucking mental over there. The people who were on the, in quotes, legitimate, you know, cable channels like Fox News and shit have taken up that mantle of over-the-top fuckwit. Mm. And I hope that you guys over there can sort this out, because there's legit such a weird problem going on there at the moment with how fucking not even divided, but like actively vitriolic a lot of people are there.
And hateful,
completely destructive and hateful. Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, just, I know we don't live there, but I feel like in Australia, at least, we get a lot of American media, so it does feel like, you know, our bigger brother or whatever, and it just sucks. It's fucking heartbreaking, the shit that people have to live with over there.
Well, for us, our listenership is majority American, so it's almost the reverse. We're speaking to more Americans than speak to us. It's extremely sad, and I guess all we can do is try to make people laugh and have a good time and deal with it that way.
Did you guys see... Sorry.
I was just going to say, the gun thing's too far gone. I don't know how it is that gun control gets sorted over there, because coming from a country where we're lucky enough that people did voluntarily accept those kind of laws, it works, for one thing, but B, we have a different culture around that sort of stuff. And I understand people who, you know, don't necessarily agree that that's the answer or whatever. Personally, I think it's definitely an answer and an effective one. But whatever the issue is with that, definitively video games have fucking nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
And it's repulsive to try and shift the blame like that, knowingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see Reggie Fils-Aimé, ex-Nintendo US president, tweeted a thing about the video games being dragged into it, and it's just like two bar graphs side by side of like gun massacre deaths by country versus video game usage by country, and it's just like him going in and sending something like that as one of the first big things post leaving this company, where I imagine he wouldn't have, well, he didn't get onto social media until he left Nintendo,
yes,
so like, there is something pretty funny about that, about him just cracking the knuckles and going, finally I can weigh in.
Yeah, but it's good. It's like, it's encouraging that someone of that position, or, you know, who was in that position is like, I'm going to use this platform that I have, which is extremely large, to say something that is factual.
And the benefit of having a big audience because of a previous job.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Don't let them manipulate the conversation like that. Mm. It's such simple fucking shit that they do, but it works for whatever reason of shifting that blame like that. It's a childish tactic, and it's so beyond childish to the point of being like evil when you have that much power and that much sway over that national conversation, to knowingly manipulate it like that is and utterly pointless and self-serving. There's no sense of wanting to fix it from these people. So, you know, whatever, keep playing video games. Obviously, they don't affect people like that. It's just not a worthwhile conversation to even have, I don't think, because it's been had a time and time and time again, and it's so evident that it's nothing to do with stuff like that. It affects people's behaviors negatively. Addiction is a real thing to it, and using it to supplement to cover over any negative parts of your life, that happens, but I don't think it contributes to violent tendencies in the way that they're suggesting.
No, not at all. Like, the only reason that mass murders happen is because of access to automatic or semi-automatic weapons. Like, that's literally the only reason that it happens.
Yeah.
Or at least it's yeah, exactly. It's
the only way it can. I mean, yeah.
Even if
games were responsible for spurring on that impulse, if that person can't get their hands on the stuff, well, then there's no.
It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And also, games just aren't responsible for it. If someone has sort of whatever going on with them mentally that causes something like that to be an influence to them, I would say that that is such aberrant behavior that it can't be said to be video games. And the idea that they would take that blanket ban ideology, like the fact that they're having that conversation about like, are video games okay? Should we fucking cut back on them? As it's literally the same conversation they should be having about guns.
It
comes across as they're trying to sort of satiate people's need to have that conversation. If we got to ban something, something's wrong, we've got to take it away. And just shifting it slightly to, not even slightly, massively to another thing, it's just bizarre to me that it works.
It's such a disgusting tactic as well, because like you mentioned, they will divert from gun control to video games. But I saw someone very smartly tweet like, watch Trump do a typo. Or watch him tweet 7 times about something on TV to make people think he's a fool and just, again, distract. It'll become the new thing in the news cycle. And, yeah, it's just, it's happening. It's so gross to see.
Just how, I mean, and not unaffecting but commonplace this has become is confusing. And scary, and like, honestly, part of it, yeah, probably there's people who aren't getting support in whatever way. I mean, it's hard to say that about people who have written, you know, fucking racist manifestos and shit, but if it is an absurd level of empathy that it takes to try and bring these people back from whatever place there is, then maybe that's worth doing. I have no fucking idea, but I don't know, on the off chance that anyone feels like that or listens to us, no point, don't do it. Anyway, I just felt like we should talk about that.
Yeah, of course.
Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the kind of fired up opinions you can get from pre-nap Adam
that
the listeners of 25 days aren't privy to.
Yeah.
I'm actually currently asleep right now. This is all sleep talk.
Sleep paralysis podcasting.
You certainly snore in your sleep. I'll tell you that.
That's me talking. That's I know how to speak
very
badly.
Yeah.
Yes. Moving on, the controversy that I was actually getting to, there has been a few different stories during the week. EVO was on over the weekend, which
EVO
isn't something that any of us are especially into, but it does filter into enough gaming news channels that it's kind of pretty hard if you're into that kind of stuff to not know that it's on. I did kind of say to myself that I was going to spend a bit of time sitting down and watching some of it, but that hasn't happened.
If you don't know what it is as well, it's like a big fighting game tournament. Did you say that?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Oh, no, sorry.
You dumbass.
I think Smash Brothers was like the most watched one of it. And I think I believe the guy who won playing as Joker, which is pretty interesting for a character that hasn't been in the game for that long, for someone to get that good at it. So what did they do? EVO themselves, because sometimes they, at that event, that's where they'll announce like new characters for things and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So going into it, people were like, oh, I wonder if this is where they'll announce another Smash Fighter that's coming up or whatever it is. They put together a trailer for Tekken 7 that had Snake in it. And then people, I think quite fairly, went, oh, cool, Snake's going to be in Tekken.
Yes.
And then they went, oh, no, April Fools. This was just a little gag. And people got very, very upset by that.
Yeah.
The fact that it was like
punked by EVO.
Yeah.
August the 5th or something. That might have had a part to do with it. And people do take that shit seriously. There was a leak of Street Fighter V new characters like a couple of weeks before it, or even just a couple of days. So, GameSpot published an article early, something like that. It might not have been GameSpot, and it might not have been that, but people got legitimately angry about it.
I'm legitimately angry at how vague that was.
Something happened and people reacted. That's the news.
They got angry about the fact that it had leaked.
Yeah, because it's like meant to be this big surprise at the end of the weekend sort of thing. So people got pretty mad about that.
Yeah, right.
Which is silly.
Yeah, but also that is pretty rare that you see the consumers of these things getting mad about leaks. Usually people are like pretty happy to spread it around. I mean, I personally, when it's in the lead up to E3 or whatever, I kind of do prefer sitting and seeing it also. If I happen to see something, I'm a bit bummed out. Mm-hmm. But
agreed.
For the fans to be that angry about it is pretty unique, I guess.
Well, because maybe it was even like Evo themselves or Capcom or something published something early, so they like ruined themselves. I wish I could remember exactly how it happened, but yeah.
Right. So then there was a tweet today from
the old voice actor
David Hayter.
Yeah,
where the fuck is this
writer
this
of?
Thing you sent us, Ben?
It's in our chat.
X-Men 2000 script.
Yep.
Ah, where is it? Anyway, him tweeting at Evo, basically going,
Evo.
There we go.
You also failed to consult me or Konami. Please do not use my voice to promote other games. Ever. DH. Your name's at the top, mate. You don't
sign off
initials.
Is pretty wonderful. Yeah.
Maybe he was saying dickhead because I feel like that's a bit strong. to
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, is he... it's just like a little fun joke to use someone like...
Well, so he's quote tweeted the one from Evo that says... That's saying it was just a little joke. So...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've already copped to it. It's like no need to lay it on. Mm. But also, I don't think it's an unfair point. Like, they definitely... Well, you know, whether they're like legally allowed to use it or not, probably still worth hitting them up to say, hey, just letting you know we're going to do this. Would that be cool? If for no other reason, then probably there was a fair chance that they would have gone, hey, that's maybe a pretty bad idea because people will then think that this is a legitimate thing and might get very angry
at
you.
And they're like, yeah, that's the point. We want to fool them.
We're twisted.
Well, so David Hayter, correct me if I'm wrong, Knox, he is no longer the voice of Snake?
No, he was replaced by Kiefer Sutherland in the last one.
So I think there's probably a fair element of, hey, you know, maybe don't bring up the fact that I'm not in this really well-paid job anymore by posting an old thing from when I was.
Right.
Like, well, that's kind of shitty in that regard.
He's been pretty happy to do the Snake voice on, like... I don't know if he's on like Cameo, but those sorts of websites and like he'll send people birthday messages being like,
well, he probably has to.
I snuck into your birthday.
Like he doesn't have a job anymore. Well, I'm assuming he has other voice work, but that's like a fucking blockbuster gig to get.
Well, it was, but he lost it around the time Metal Gear sort of started going down the toilet anyway. So, you know, maybe it's not that big of a split. I think it's more just like... I don't know, because you're right that it would be polite to ask, but also for a parody sort of thing, you don't need to. That's fair use.
Well,
you're right.
This interestingly ties into something I saw during the week that people have been making memes about Fire Emblem Three Houses, the character of Setteth.
Yes.
People have become pretty into like making, sort of doctoring up little screenshots of him sending you on these kind of ridiculous quests because he's kind of a bit of a dick to your main character in the game. So people have been doing up these things of like, hey, I'm trapped in a McDonald's playground. I need you to come and get me out. Right. Yeah. So those sorts of things have been circulating. The guy who does the English voice of him has seen them and started recording them, like doing the voice, like so putting them up and then they actually do look like and sound as if they're in the game.
Yeah.
And they're very funny and he's not doing anything... You know, he's obviously not taking ones that are like, oh, I want you to fuck a goat or whatever. Like,
sure.
He's doing, they're all like, you know, G-rated and whatever. Mm-hmm. But just looking at them again, it's like, this seems like the sort of thing that you could pretty easily get in trouble, given that Nintendo had a history of like not even letting people stream their games on YouTube or whatever.
Yep.
This seems like the kind of thing that they would like not be into, like that they would come down on.
Yeah, completely. It's surprising that they haven't yet.
Yeah.
I'm sure they will.
But good on him. Like, pretty cool that he's just, like, loving it and his character becoming a meme in the game is, like, pretty sick.
That's the greatest thing you can hope for in this 21st century is to become a meme. Why not lead into it?
Did you see... We didn't talk about it last week, but around, like right around the time that the game came out, the guy who is the voice of the main character that you play as,
yes,
he copped to, I didn't properly read it, but like some degree of ongoing emotional abuse in relationships that he's been in, that he's been accused of.
Yeah.
Oh, and this all happens like the day before the game comes out or whatever. So then it's like the game launches and then they have to very quickly go, ah, fuck.
Yeah.
All right, we'll there'll be a patch coming in a couple of days.
Yep.
Thankfully, he says maybe about a dozen things in the game.
Yeah, that's true.
So wouldn't have been too big of a job, but like, yeah. Not great for them. Not great timing.
So is that patch already out? Like, is the version of him that I'd have heard the new person?
Probably, yeah. If you've updated it since getting it, since getting on... I think it was like a couple of days after it came out.
I don't think I would have played it before the update then.
Yeah, probably not.
That's cool because I have been playing it. It's fucking so good.
Yes.
Oh, man. I'm 30-something hours deep.
Jesus.
I know. It's fucked. It's really genuinely fucked.
It's sort of wrecking this working holiday.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
Because it's destroying the work part of it. It's having a negative impact on that.
Sure.
And it's having an extremely negative impact on the holiday part of it. Do you know how, like, Arthur's Seat was beautiful, but I don't know. It's all a bit real life for me up there.
I bet you were looking out and thinking about how you could like tactically maneuver your units into some trees that are nearby and get the arches all lined up.
You were thinking about two of your mates brushing a unicorn.
I was worried Bernadetta was going to be locked outside her house and she wouldn't be able to get back in, so she'd feel a little stuck outside.
It's She's so good. One. It's so good, right? Are you finding, Nox, you're more into the Persona 5-ish stuff of like the team management and side quests, or are you hell into the battles, or are you just loving all of it?
I think I'm both equally. The battles at this point that I'm at still are maybe a bit easy.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I'm just across the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am I think I'm losing so many hours to it because it's like you sit down to do a month of the calendar in the game, and just that loop of, on the free days I'll alternate, I'll have a day walking around the monastery, and then the next week I'll have a day where I go into battle.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, it's like you do that loop a couple of times, you just do that over 1 month, and then it's been 3.5 hours.
Yes.
It's like I'll go around the monastery, build up some stats, get some support stuff going, kind of kit everyone out, buy some new stuff. And then you go, okay, I'd better leave it here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, but I want to test all this out in battle now.
And yeah, and then you just end up at the next mission.
Yep.
And then that, like you said, Nox, they're not particularly hard early days. So you're just getting through them.
Yeah.
And that loop starts again and it's just as addictive as it was before.
Yeah.
I do sort of wish that I had done it on the, what's it called? The classic mode.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Me too. Yeah. Me too. I think that what you're saying, that definitely does what we're doing, the way we're playing it in casual, definitely does make it easier.
It does, and I'm trying to treat it as though it was in the classic mode, I guess. But mainly I wish I could have played in classic because then I would have been able to murder Kaspar immediately. He'd be out and it'd be smooth sailing for the rest of the game.
But yeah,
it does take a little something away from the battles. But then you've got that time rewind thing anyway, so you pretty much don't have to lose anyone. And I would be pissed off about wondering what would have happened with that character if they'd have died, but then that's kind of cool. So I don't know. I think I might play this game again one day. It seems like one of those.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people in our Facebook group saying they finished it and then got immediately back in on
Insanity.
A replay.
Insanity. I mean, but I understand it though. It's nice. It's a nice game. Like that's a dumb sort of pat phrase, but like it is a nice feeling game. The atmosphere is fun and relaxing outside of the battles. The battles are fun and tactical, but more in a way that it's like chess rather than something where you're viscerally worried about people dying.
Yeah.
It's more the tactical thing. But I've probably played like five or six hours of it.
Right.
I think I mentioned the other day where I was up to story wise. I just passed a specific sort of point. But It's so good. I wish I had more time to play it.
Yeah, I think I when I do another playthrough, like just the combination of being able to play as a different house and see the story from a different perspective.
Which there actually are different perspectives. I sort of had a bit of a look into some of the material around the game. And I think last week we were sort of more like, oh, it's the same, exact same story. You just happen to be in a different house. You just have different classmates. But I think there is an actual branching path to extent. Cool. Or at least a different perspective.
Well, that and the combination of being able to play it in Classic, which honestly does... I was thinking about it going, it would be a different game. Like, it would be a completely different experience to be able to play it with those two conditions changed.
Right.
I mean, there just is so much in there. Like, all the support conversations and, like, the amount of... I said this last week, but the amount of content that is stuffed in there. And also, yeah, apologies if you're just completely not interested in it that we're now talking about it for the second week running.
Yeah.
But also, a number of people I've seen on social media that follow this show have – and this happens every now and then. It happened with, I guess, maybe Red Dead, but I think a lot of people were just going to get that anyway. Maybe Breath of the Wild and the Switch, where we talk about something a lot in – it's like glowing praise that – I've seen this a lot during the week of people posting, ah, fine, I'll get this fucking game then.
Yes.
People seem legitimately angry at us when they are driven to the point of having to follow up on a recommendation. It's like, all right, you guys are going to go on about it. I guess I've got to play this fucking game. This is a good thing.
Just,
it's just a mask for enjoying something that looks like anime. that's all that is happening is when someone goes like, oh, Attack on Titan's actually pretty good. You go, oh, fuck you. I hate that shit. But I'll watch it if you want me to.
Yeah, but I have a workmate who talks about Attack on Titan a lot, and every time he does, I beat him up to hide how interested I am in it.
But yeah, it's fucking so fun.
It's a very good game. I would rate it highly.
Yeah,
you would.
If I was forced to. All right, I'll fucking rate the game. Okay, it's 5 out of 5.
How far in are you, Adam? Because I totally, everything that you're saying. This is the first year in, I think, 2 or 3 years where I haven't been overseas myself in August. So I've actually been properly kind of paying attention to people's posts about Edinburgh because I'm not sort of on my own trip going, oh, no, this is really fun. It's kind of the first year where I've gone, I kind of would like to go. Yeah. I sort of wish I was over there.
Yeah, yeah.
But then in the back of my mind, I'm like, no, I don't know. I think I'm having a much better time here just burning the midnight oil on Fire Emblem every night.
Yeah. I wish I was there because I would be on holiday and I'd have my days free to play Fire Emblem.
Right. It's... But I totally, even just the stress of when you are playing it, then feeling guilty that you should be like working on material and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really, really annoying. And I wish that I could somehow hit a pause button on the rest of my life and just play this game because I'm up to, I don't know, I'm probably at the end of the 4th month-ish, something like that.
Okay.
Like not super far in, but just really fucking...
Still in chapter one then, probably?
Yeah, definitely still chapter one.
Right.
Oh, what chapter am I in?
I think I'm towards the end of chapter one, maybe.
Chapter you mean part one.
Blue Moon.
White winds or what? I'm not sure what
I mean. White cloud?
Yes.
Gray I'm still at the first like part. Yeah.
Right, right.
You know what? I wish more games did the thing where when you save it or just wherever in the game, like a counter for how many hours you've
totally.
Put in.
I wish every game had it.
Yeah, it's clamp down. Let's make it mandatory.
Yes. Let's get a petition going.
Yep. What else? There was a bit of other... Oh, yeah, we just mentioned it briefly before. So this is a wild story. There's a games expo in China during the week where a company got up and showed off a new game that they have been working on. And a lot of people there watching this went, oh, this is identical to Breath of the Wild in almost every way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and there's been footage of this game out before.
Yes.
This wasn't the first time people were seeing it. So they already knew and had made their minds up. And, like, they're not wrong. It looks a lot like Breath of the Wild.
It's called Genshin Impact, game.
The layout of the menu screens and stuff, the visual style, the palette and everything looks... It's bang on. It's near identical. And so people have been protesting this by What, turning up at the booth when they're showing it off?
Yep.
And holding up their copies of Breath of the Wild.
And flipping the bird.
And flipping the bird. One guy smashed his PlayStation 4 in front of the booth in protest.
That'll show them.
Which is...
That's pretty crazy.
Incredible.
That is an insane response.
I hate this meal, so I'm going to smash my oven.
Yeah. It's such... Like, it's such a classic gamer thing, and I hate to say, like, to tar us all with the same brush, but like these fucking overreactions to stuff.
I know.
It makes me embarrassed to be a part of this community.
Something about this story though, I don't know, I don't really have that response to it. I just find it funny.
I mean, like, it's
so absurd that it's funny. Not like, I mean, maybe this is happening a bit, like getting on and you know, doxing the people that made it or
I'm
whatever.
Sure it's happening as well.
It probably is happening, but I don't know. I'm choosing to just not bone up on that side of it.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks pretty good. It's coming out on PS4.
Yeah, it's Breath of the Wild. Of course it looks good.
I think I'm going to love it. I think it might be my game of the year.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, someone was talking about this in our group about, you know, and we've talked about this before, that there is no originality in gaming.
Yeah, yeah.
But something about this seems... more egregious when it's, you know, when it's a very distinct visual style of something that didn't come out that long ago. Because, I mean, yeah, you've got like Fortnite rips off PUBG, which is just kind of, that's a popular format. So
sure, that's conceptually rather than...
Fortnite rips off everything directly. They lifted, like the PUBG thing was... pretty much invented and popularized by PUBG, and they just took it.
Yeah, but you know what what I'm essentially getting at is like a format becomes big, so of course another company goes, okay, well we want to do this format because this is what's popular. That to me seems very different and in a way a bit more organic than just going, hey, here's a style, we'll just take this.
I think it's more common, and so we're like more accepting of it. But I don't know, like if you really knuckle down at it all, there's a lot of straight up plagiarism in this industry.
Well, but the flip side of that too is like a lot of, I guess, indie games and a lot of games that come out now are, you know, these riffs on games that were popular in the 80s or 90s, kind of tapping into the nostalgia thing, often like literally the exact same graphic style as a homage. And you see that and people are fine with that because it's, you know, oh, this is great. It's like an updated version of this game that this plays how I remember it playing rather than having to go back to the original version that has its faults. I think with this, it's just the proximity to Breath of the Wild still not having really been out for that long.
Yeah, I think that if Fortnite also looked exactly the same as PUBG, This outrage would have happened. I also think we're biased towards an aesthetic ripoff because we're like more into art or visuals. If we were coders who were creating a game format that got ripped off, I think we'd be as pissed off.
I think the big thing is most people don't give a huge shit actually about plagiarism in entertainment stuff.
No, I completely agree. People want. Like if the next one that's the ripoff is also in some way more accessible or cheaper, the consumer will prefer that.
Yeah, well, and like I don't know, there'd be if people actually got pissed off about plagiarism in stand up, there'd be a whole lot more compilations on YouTube than there are right now. But people aren't pissed off about plagiarism; they're pissed off about Amy Schumer doing it. So they'll make a compilation of Amy Schumer in quotes stealing jokes. You know what I mean? Like that when people get pissed off about this sort of thing, it seems to be feeding into something else or used as like an argument for something else. Maybe that's like a false comparison for this, but
yeah. It is funny though, like this company doing this, it's a big wild move from them. I mean, at least something like Fortnite, at least they go, we'll slap a different coat of paint on it.
Sure.
At least they're half trying to look a little bit different, but this just going like, we will just use the exact same visual style is you know, you got to hand it to them.
It's like those like, I think they're called Asylum, the production company that makes like Transmorphers. Like all those fake Hollywood ripoff films. I think this is like that, which I think is why it's more funny as a story than annoying or enraging. It's like, this is probably going to be a worse game as well. It'll just look similar.
Yeah, right.
It's so ridiculous that, I kind of love it.
And for people to pick this one fake knockoff thing in China to be rebelling against is just like, of all the things that are like crappily manufactured as ripoffs of other things over there.
Mm.
I wonder if this is like a bigger company or something. Because, if you just go into any like mobile app store, the number of large theft automobiles you will see available for download.
I mean, we were obsessed with a game called Lep for a while.
Yeah.
Which was just a leprechaun version of Mario.
Yeah.
It was great. And they just couldn't come up with a character. So they're like, I don't know, Leprechaun. What would his name be? Leprechaun? Nah, too long. Lep.
Lep.
Oh, man. Get onto it, folks. I think there's six. That's the other thing. There's like six different installments.
Yes.
This little cunt, he's been around the world. Lep's Adventure. Look it up. The unofficial mobile app of Filthy Casual.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's that story. I tell you what, it really tickled me this week.
It's funny to bring your Switch and hold it up as though they don't know.
Yeah, right.
Or as though they're like surprised to find out that someone's going to draw a link between the two. A link.
That would be a brilliant way to play it. Just going, oh my God, I thought this looked familiar. Oh my fuck.
I think this Nintendo company's ripped us off.
It's just parallel thought. You know, it's just parallel thought. Yeah. I was riffing about a video game and I'd seen Breath of the Wild earlier that day.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you guys. I get it. I understand. And I see that we have taken the idea of moving the camera with the right stick. I get that now. And I get that's what you're complaining about exclusively. We'll change that.
Mm-hmm.
Make it smaller.
I don't know. I mean, that was on the Nintendo and this is on the PlayStation. So they're completely different games.
It's actually completely
There's
different.
No similarities whatsoever.
Mm. I'll accept that.
We should quickly say too, by the time when people are hearing this, there will have been overnight Melbourne time, there's going to be a new presentation about the new Pokemon game.
Yes.
With some new info in it. Mm-hmm. We're doing this before that. So that's why we've not touched on it,
mm-hmm.
but who knows? There's every chance that it's probably completely disinteresting and underwhelming.
Unedifying.
So the outcome of this episode would have been exactly the same, even if we had watched it.
Yep. Adam.
3 to 6 new weird Pokemon, and they won't say that they're bringing back all of the old ones who originally weren't going to be in it.
Yep. And there'll be something about the like inventory system. I reckon they'll go deep on the inventory system.
Mm-hmm.
Something boring like that.
Yeah.
There's also going to be another Death Stranding, possibly gameplay or another trailer later this month.
Oh, right.
That got teased today. I've seen people asking for like more legitimate gameplay, less walking around hills and stuff.
Pulling out a ladder.
Yeah, less going to Arthur's seat and slipping over.
I don't know, pretty good game. If I could have done that in a game rather than real life.
That is what it looks like. So, maybe this will be your favorite game of all time.
I think it could be.
Mm.
Nah, probably not.
I still really don't know which way that one's going to go.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by it, very excited to either love or I think hate it. Like I think it's got to be one or the other for me. I don't think that I'm going to be just like, oh, that was a fine game.
I saw a story that Kojima and crew over there are currently working like pretty heavy crunch hours to get it done, and like part of the thing of him leaving Konami being about that means, was it worth it? Let me work it, put my thing down, flip it, and keep it the same.
Jim Carrey has weighed in on a...
I actually love this.
...favorite running controversy of the show.
Yeah.
Which, when was the Sonic the Hedgehog movie meant to come out? It was October or something.
November, I think. Early November, maybe, or so late October, yeah.
So the marketing machine would have been really ramping up by now.
Yeah.
But he got asked about it at an event, I think for some TV.
For Kidding.
For Kidding, yeah.
Yeah.
And his comment basically was like he doesn't like the idea that the consumer design by committee sort of thing, like the consumer getting to weigh in.
Yeah, which I completely agree with. I don't know if we covered this at all when sort of the announcement came out that they were going to quote unquote fix it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the idea that the public, the people who consume the art rather than the artists are dictating like the aesthetic, the style.
Yeah.
The way something is made isn't good. But I guess it was always going to be an art by committee thing. It's a fucking Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Yeah.
And I would agree with that in like 95% of circumstances. But like if a builder is building a building, right?
Yes.
And then you can visibly see that he has trapped someone inside of the walls of that building while he's building it. Mm. I think it's fair enough for you to go, hey, maybe change up what you're doing there because you've got someone inside of the bricks and you're going to brick them up and kill them.
If that person managed to get trapped during the process of the very, very slow process of someone building a building around them,
yes.
I would argue that they had it coming.
He's building it in a hospital. He's building a new wing of a hospital. They're in a coma.
Oh.
Well, then they're just having they need the hospital that is being built around them.
But they don't want to be inside the walls of the hospital. You're not getting any care in there.
Oh, he's inside the wall. Well, where are the staff? What are the staff of the hospital doing about this?
How thick's the wall?
Hey, it's pretty thick.
There's a fucking person in there.
You got to put wiring and insulation through it. It's a hospital. You need people to be warm and have electricity.
The first thing you pull him up on is the thickness of the walls.
No. It's
regardless of someone being inside it.
I mean, I'm not that much of a builder. I don't know how long it'll take to make the walls thinner. I just know that they're wrong. And
Let's get my architect dad on the phone and see what he has to say about this.
Just something about the walls, Tommy. Doesn't look right. The teeth in the walls was a bit weird.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's better. If he was using teeth instead of mortar between the bricks.
There we go. Right. Yeah, okay.
You'd be like, hey, that building's going to fall apart and no one's going to want to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I do agree with you that I don't think that consumers should have this amount of say.
Mm-hmm.
I also think they are extremely mistaken by delaying the release.
Yeah.
Like thinking that this is in any way going to positively affect the box office outcome of this film.
Yep.
That being said, I love that it's happening. What a story.
Yes.
And I am more than any, you know, more than any reveal of any big game that's coming up, I am dying to see this redesign.
Yes.
I am absolutely busting for this big reveal.
I completely agree with that. And I guess the caveat...
It's just him wearing a hat.
The caveat to my point, and Jim Carrey's point, I have to assume, me and the big man, is that it relies on the artist being competent. So
right.
So yeah, if it's just a shit artist, maybe that's fair. But
exactly my point with the builder. But then I guess who's to say what art is shit or what artist is shit or not?
Even if an artist is incompetent, it doesn't mean that a bystander is any more competent just by looking.
No.
Yeah.
And you could give them feedback, but the second that it turns, you know, nasty like some of the Sonic stuff did.
Also, this specific example we're talking about is not art.
Wow. That's a big call.
It's cynical, you know, nostalgia, cash grab.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, there's no one guy there like, this is my passion project and this is the story that my soul has been burning to tell. And
yeah.
I have these things that I want to say about the human condition. This is like a room of people going, this makes a bit more money.
This will make some cash. Yeah. Speaking of the consumer having a negative impact by weighing into a work of art or property of some kind, we've got some questions here from the listeners. there's a few. We've actually done way more time this episode than I thought we would. But there's a fun question here from Ern that I thought would be interesting to answer. Ern says, you have one day as CEO of one of the giant publishers / developers / console manufacturers. Anything you do in that day will remain in effect after your short time in the role comes to an end. What company are you CEO of and what do you do?
Ooh. Fuck, that's a good one.
Isn't that a purler?
Okay. Can I embezzle?
Yeah, of course you can. Yeah.
Oh, well then EA embezzle it, shut it down, and then everyone doesn't prosecute me because they're like, ah, he got the evil EA.
I don't think that you don't get prosecuted based on like morality. If you break a law, I think you still go to jail.
I need one of them gamer judges.
Oh, yeah.
He's got like a little Donkey Kong hammer that every time he goes to hammer the thing at the start of a court, it takes fucking forever. Once he grabs it, he can't stop. Let's say that you can't get any money. Like you can't do it as like a, you just have to make a change that's actually the business. The business has to stay there. You can't shut it down, right?
I mean, I'm the CEO. I'm going to be putting in long hours.
Yes.
I'm going to be away from my wife and child. I'd want that to be worth something. I'd want some kind of financial compensation.
Your fantasy involves a wife and child as well.
Yeah, that I'm neglecting.
Yeah.
Good to be out of the house because the miso's giving it all these.
You're only putting in 24 hours here, so you're not exactly getting a bonus package for that.
Yeah.
All right,
My first thought was to work at EA and to like announce all microtransactions are done, because I think that would be good. But am I saying that because I think it would be like something that people would like me for?
Yeah.
Or because it would really benefit my life?
I think it would benefit the world. Like if you moved into a company like EA and said, "Hey guys, we're going to comply with gambling laws."
Yeah, yes, sure.
So you cancel it within EA, but then some other company comes along and goes, now the field is wide open.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll become the CEO of EA and I will announce world peace.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take over the company miHoYo, developers of Genshin Impact. And I'm going to replace the main character with Link. That's my only change.
That kind of feeds into my one. I'm going to become the CEO of Nintendo. What about this one, boys? Sequel to Breath of the Wild. Oh. I'm putting that into production.
It's already in production.
Okay. What about this? A console that you can take on the go.
Now, Tommy, there's at least two of those.
Okay. What do you think about this? Wario smashes me up the shitter.
No, that I like.
I'm going to come.
Very, very nice.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't like I. The immediate thing that I thought of was like financial or infrastructure based. You know, like things that would benefit the industry as a whole, not artistic things. But
I've got
like,
it.
Yeah. Why don't I just become like the CEO of BioWare and make a good Mass Effect game?
Well, yeah, but also a lot of my impulses are like, oh, I'll like go to Nintendo and get this game, you know, off the ground that I personally would, the kind of thing that I would like to play. Mm-hmm. But be in development. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to Konami and I am selling off all of their IPs. So people can make Castlevania games, people can make Metal Gear Solid games again. Konami doesn't have use of them anymore. They're gone.
That's a really good one.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Yeah. Silent Hill. Sell it to Kojima Productions or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Konami, I'm going there and not even selling them off, just freeing their fucking properties.
Wow.
I reckon, Ben,
yes,
a good one for you would be you go into, I forget what the company is, but they made No Man's Sky.
Hello Games?
Yeah, Hello Games. And you get yourself put in that game.
Okay, so I've got 24
hours.
Ben
DLC.
No, it's going to be more than that. I'm going to go there and I'm going to say, as CEO, you need to design me a VR pod that feeds me.
Right.
Relieves my system of all waste. Maybe it has like a muscle thing toner in it so I get exercise, my body doesn't atrophy. And a perfect high-definition VR headset so that I can play No Man's Sky every day for the rest of my life.
And you're in it forever.
Forever.
That's
never
pretty
coming
good.
Out.
I would have thought your answer would have been just like, you go to Hello Games and it's like Bart visiting the offices of Mad Magazine.
Yes.
Like, you don't even want to really make any. You're just happy to walk around and get the guy to do it.
I just want to like poke my head through the doorway and see Sean Murray.
I like that your answer is like, I want you guys to make something that will benefit nobody but me. And after this, everyone else in my life will probably assume that I killed myself because I'm going to disappear.
No, I'll make a big, it'll be like, I'll make a big press conference and stuff. Like, I'm going into No Man's Sky.
And then first question of the press conference, is this going to be available for anybody else in the world ever?
If they want to pay for it, sure, we can put it into production.
Yeah, he's the guinea pig. If it works out on him,
it's a prototype.
Then they can just replicate it.
Okay, yeah. You're like the scientist who walks into the thing and it goes wrong and they end up with superpowers.
Yes.
Your superpower is just you're inside the internet.
That's pretty good. I mean, I saw the start of Lawnmower Man. I didn't see the end. I'm assuming that was a superhero movie.
You would become a meme.
Oh,
the dream.
The dream.
The other one that you could do is go to Valve and tell them to make sequels to their games.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that'd I think without sort of having the time to really think about it too much right now, like that, I think that's the bet is like, what's a company or like a property that has been dormant for so long that it would be so good to see resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
You do what you have to do to get a new one of them up off the ground. And then it comes out and it tanks. You've had involvement and you're too close to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Homer designing a car. It's just a piece of shit.
His car was so good though.
Yeah. On paper, it had everything you'd want.
Yeah. Have we got more time? A little bit more time. A few of the people in the group asked us to sort of check in halfway through the year what games we've loved, what games we've been disappointed by, general thoughts on the industry halfway through the year or a bit more than halfway through.
Yeah, I've said this a bit recently. Like, I haven't really been, until the last maybe month and a half,
mm-hmm.
nothing had really grabbed me. And then Crash Team Racing,
mm-hmm.
Mario Maker 2 and Fire Emblem back to back has been, it's been a good month and a bit. And there's a lot of good shit coming up. But so far, before that point, at the start of the year, pretty underwhelming for me.
I tend to agree. There's been some games that I've loved recently. Mario Maker 2, definitely. Fire Emblem, Judgment, I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And Outer Wilds.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I think even games, some of those, like I really like Outer Wilds and Judgment as well. But in previous years, I don't know if they would have cracked the top five.
Right.
Like it's still underwhelming.
Outer Wilds is my favorite game of the year so far. Like, I think that thing would have been in a top five plenty of other years for me.
Right.
Resident Evil 2 is pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's a remake of a 20-year-old game. You know, like, it's not that exciting. There are a lot of disappointing things like fucking Anthem and Crackdown and that Far Cry thing didn't look very interesting.
Oh, it was. It's fine. It was more like DLC though. It was a good DLC for Far Cry 5.
Devil May Cry 5 was okay.
Oh, yeah.
Sekiro.
I
keep forgetting
Sekiro.
It was. I mean, it's too. You've played more of those kind of games than me, Nox. But it was too difficult for me to commit to for longer than a month or so. Like it just.
Sure.
Right.
It wasn't fun enough to persist with the challenge.
I did wonder that about it because you guys raved about it at the time, and I did. I was thinking about this the other day that you kind of did drop off at a certain point.
But I think, like, if we didn't have a podcast about video games, I wouldn't be thinking, like, oh, I only played that game for a month. I'd be thinking, like, I loved that game for a month.
Yeah,
and
right.
I'll probably play it again soon, and I'll probably finish it in a year or, you know, like, my life timelines were so different before this podcast.
Yeah, sure. I do. I mean, I kind of have a hard time, like, really feeling like I've completely invested in a game if I don't finish it.
Mm.
Like, even if I get close and then don't, I mean, like, that almost feels worse. Like, I kind of go,
right.
Oh, I don't really deserve to be in a conversation about this because, I mean, I've put 30 hours into Fire Emblem, but I haven't done the time jump yet.
Yeah.
I certainly haven't finished it yet. And if it got to the end of the year and I didn't play any more of it, even though I've put so much in, I would still feel like, I really only scratched the surface. I didn't really properly play this.
That is an interesting thing to think about because, like, you don't discuss a film without having seen the whole film. You don't
totally,
and even with something like a book, which takes a similar amount of time to read as a game, you know, depending on the length of the book. But like, I've read a few books this year, and yeah, if I'd gotten to the last chapter and hadn't finished it, I wouldn't be sitting around talking about it with my friends, going, "This is what this book is like."
Yeah, and it annoys me because I think about stuff that I enjoyed, and I'm like, I should go back to that, knowing that I probably never will. But it's frustrating because they sit there and they just kind of claw. They claw at your head, or you see it on the little, you know, the menu screen or whatever, or the box under the TV. It's like, fuck, I really enjoyed that. Like, why didn't I finish that? And, and the answer is probably that you weren't enjoying it as much as you thought you were. But I mean, I guess we're in the position when new stuff comes along that we kind of have to engage with for the purposes of the show.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, I think the difference is between the definition of a review. I agree that you can't give an actual review of something unless you've seen all of it. But I think what we do mostly here is give our impressions, which is like a valid thing. Your experience of approaching this product and piece of work is a form of review, but an actual analytical review is you've got to have seen everything.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I think
I'm going to give a top three from the first half of the year. I figured one out. Outer Wilds is number one, Mortal Kombat's number two, and then Resident Evil 2 is number three.
Ooh.
All right.
At least five games coming out in the rest of the year that could usurp all of them.
Okay, wow. All right.
That's the thing. We're saying all this, but there's still a lot of good. There's some really, really good shit to come. Well, for me personally, there's a lot of things that I'm looking forward to in the next few months. So it's like by the time it gets to the end of the year, it will have been a great year, but it certainly January to June was pretty dry. Anyway.
I think Fire Emblem's got to be my favorite. I think Super Mario Maker 2. I think maybe Sekiro and Outer Wilds. And then fitness boxing. I genuinely do love fitness boxing.
Yeah, right.
But then, fuck, there's a few other ones in there as well that I've enjoyed about on the same level as like three of those. I think Fire Emblem is the one. Like AAA, loved it, would be in my top five any other year.
But to be a stickler, that's technically not first half of the year because I came out at the end of June.
That's true. All right.
Oh, sorry, end of July.
Yeah, discount that. Mario Maker 2 is my favorite.
Oh, no, that scraped in, didn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think it did end of June. Yeah,
yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. I'd say that in Crash Team Racing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, fuck, I don't even know. I don't know what else.
I know I want to play more of Judgment.
Yeah.
Probably more of Bloodstained.
I like Devil May Cry as well. Yeah. There's a lot of games that would hover around the like 7 or 8 out of 10 or 7 or 8 out of a top 10 mark that I feel like are bunched around 5 for me this year.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. But then Death Stranding may be the greatest game of all time.
Who knows? Yeah.
Find out the answer in our Game of the Year episode next week.
Oh, great.
We're just going to guess. We're going to guess.
Yep.
Well, I reckon we should wrap it up for another week. Fellas, thank you, everyone, for listening. Thanks to everyone who contributed to that thread about questions and stuff.
Yeah, we'll just probably jump in the thread and answer a few that we didn't answer in here because there are 60 comments in that thread.
Great.
But a lot of just fun discussion as well and some stuff for next week.
Great.
Which is good and handy.
Let me quickly...
Oh, that's also a plug for the Patreon. That is our Patreon group.
Yes.
If you donate $5 a month, you get into that group. If you donate $10 a month, you get 4 free bonus episodes every month, one a week.
Yep.
It's an extra podcast
sometimes
called
five,
Nintendo 69. Yes. That's true. Yeah.
Some months are longer. 30 days has September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31, except for February clear, which has 28 days, but 29 every 4 years, which in this in the common parlance is known as a leap year. Yes. And also there's a secret month at the end of the year.
It changes every year, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the episodes we release during that are wild. Some extreme shit.
Red morning video games.
I just want to quickly plug something again. I mentioned last week I'm running in the City to Surf in Sydney this weekend. I'm raising money for the Kids Cancer Institute. I feel a bit weird about getting on anything and it's like – and sort of saying like, oh, chip in money to this. But then I found out last night that I am currently the second overall fundraiser for the Children's Cancer Institute. And if I come first, I win a trip to Queensland. So,
excellent.
So if you didn't want to do it for the sick children, do it for me going on a holiday.
Do it for the sick adult.
if you have any money to spare and you want to chip in, it's obviously a great cause.
Yes.
We've got the links on our social medias. You can find it pretty easily. That would be very much appreciated.
Yeah. I've chipped in, so be like your pal Ben. Donate to Thomas.
Filthycasuals.com.au for the links to all the socials and everything. Go check out Adam's Show 3's comedy if you're in Edinburgh.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to say, if you are coming down to that, please, please, please come early or message me on Twitter or something and let me know that you're coming down, because we've been filling up pretty early and we're having to turn people away. And I would hate to turn someone away who, like, listens to this and shit to let, like, some old fucker who's just wandering around in. So,
what if you had to choose between a listener of this and a listener of Ooh Spooky, your other
podcast?
They're
both getting in. They'd be the kind of people that, yeah, they'd make it work.
You'd kick some random out.
Yeah. Well, that's the idea. We can't kick someone out once they're in the room, but I can reserve you a spot if you let me know that you're coming on the day, if you are actually coming. So yeah, please come early or let me know, because I'd say some old fuck jokingly, but I don't want like a random person in rather than someone who's actually there to see it.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah,
absolutely.
Let us know or get there at least 15-ish minutes early, maybe a bit more, because, yeah, we've been filling up, which is cool. But
yeah.
And what time are you on it? You're on at like 11 a.m. or something?
11:35 a.m. for Three's Comedy at the City Cafe. And then there's Luca Muller's got a solo show at 4:45, and then a gong show at 11 o'clock, which I'm helping out with. That's at Counting House. And then we've got Late Show, Great Show, which is late night stand-up at the Counting House as well at midnight.
Yeah, nice. Go see Adam if you're in or around Edinburgh. Guys, thanks very much for joining us. We'll see you next time, as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Plagiarism's fine, just do it.
Plagiarism's fine, just do it.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.